Welcome to Father's Day. Good to see each of you here today, and good to come and just celebrate our dads and how great our dads are and wonderful. And sometimes, you know, you come to Father's Day message and you think, okay, I'm going to get beat up this morning. Well, I don't plan on doing that. I plan to encourage you today and to thank you for being great dads and the difference that you make in your children's lives. This morning, I want to start with the top five saying for Father's Day. Top five saying for Father's Day. Number one, or number five, I should say. For Father's Day, we got my dad a t-shirt that says, "Do not resuscitate." He wears it whenever mom takes him to the ballet. Number five. Number four, I have mixed emotions when I receive my Father's Day gifts. I'm glad my children remember me. I'm disappointed they think I dress like that. Number three, father's instructions on how to change a diaper. Here you go. Spread the diaper in the position of a diamond with you at the bat. Then fold second base down to home and set the baby on pitcher's mound. Put first base and third base together. Bring up home plate and pin the three together. Of course, in case of rain, you got to call the game and start all over again. Number two, tomorrow is Father's Day. My lovely kids said, "Do you need something like mom does, or are you okay?" And number one saying for Father's Day, first friend says, "What does your father do for a living?" Second friend, "He's a magician. He performs tricks like sawing people in half." First friend, "Do you have any brothers or sisters?" Second friend, "Yep, four half-sisters and a half-brother." Well, that gets us started in the right direction this morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, or watch the screen for Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. I've entitled my message this morning, "Playing Catch with Dad." Playing Catch with Dad. And many of us have childhood memories. Some of the best are playing catch with our father. He threw the ball, and you caught it. You threw the ball, and he caught it. Sometimes he would throw it hard, and sometimes he would throw it soft. Sometimes over our heads, and sometimes thrown short of us where we could not catch it, even if we wanted to. But there was something about that perfect throw and that perfect catch that remains in our mind. And we look back with fond memories of that time spent with Dad. Such is the case with life lessons and with lessons that are taught about God. The truth is that most of us see God through the eyes of our parents. How our parents see God, that's exactly how we see God. How our parents view the Almighty is exactly how we have our impression that makes us understand who God is. We see God and understand Him by how our parents see Him. Now, thankfully, there are a number of exceptions to that rule, and there's some who have come to know Christ, even though they may have grown up in a godless home. God is so good. But the reality is, the most lessons we learn about God are easier caught than taught. That easier caught and taught. And Dad has a responsibility to throw the lesson, as it were, and the child or the son or the daughter has a responsibility to catch it. How we act, Dad, how we worship, how we think about God is mostly caught, not taught, as we grow up. We find that from our fathers. This morning, I want to look at a dad in the Bible who taught his son great lessons about God. They're reflective in his behavior as he is a follower of the Lord. Genesis 22, verses 1 to 14. Just going to read that this morning and give you a little bit of the context of what's going on. And then we'll come back about these lessons that are thrown by the father and caught by the son. Verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1 says, "And after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. And then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took it in his hand, the fire and the knife. And so they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. What lessons are you tossing? What lessons are you catching? Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessing upon this time together this morning. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can have by looking into your word. And I pray, Father, that we as dads would be so thankful that we get this privilege of demonstrating to our kids who God is. We get this opportunity to demonstrate what we think of you and to pass that on to the next generation and hopefully passed on to the next generation past that. And I pray, Father, as we look at this, we think about this idea of playing catch with dad. What is he throwing? What are we catching? I pray, Father, we'd see that from this word today. May your name be honored and glorified in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just give you a little bit of background as to what's going on here. Very quickly, Abraham has been called to serve God, and he left the Ur of Chaldees, went down into what we know as modern day Israel, and he was there and serving God, and he had followed God without any pretense, just had stepped out and gone and done what God had called him to do. And because of his faithfulness and his trust, God promises him that he will have a son, and he will have a heritage that will be tremendous and amazing, as it were, as the stars of the sky or as the sand of the sea will be his descendants. It's an amazing thing that's being told. And he makes that promise to him. And then Abraham, in doubt, actually has a child with Hagar, and Ishmael is born of that. But God does not consider that to be the son of promise, if you could put it that way. The one that's the son of promise is Isaiah. And God, Isaac. And God makes that absolutely clear that Isaac is the one that's going to be the one that's there. And so with Sarah being 90 years old and Abraham being 100 years old, they basically have a child at that age. And the child grows up and we're approximately about 20 years later than that. So Abraham at this point is about 120 years old. And he has a son that's about 20 plus, we're not sure exactly, but in that area is the idea of how old he is. And so what happens then is God calls Abraham and he says to Abraham, I want you to sacrifice not just your son, but your son of promise. The one that I've built all of these promises in, the one that you're relying upon, the one that you're calling upon, as it were, in that sense, that he's going to be the one. He's going to be the one that all of this promises of God is going to take place from. And so as we look at this passage then, you think of the challenge. And we kind of read that through and think, well, that's a great story. But the truth of the challenge of this, of take your son, your only son. Could you imagine taking your son, your only son, the one that all of these promises promises are about, to take him and to sacrifice him. How awful that would be. But through this process, Abraham, because he trusts God and he leans upon God and he knows God and it's accounted unto him as righteousness, he takes this time and through this and his action through this time demonstrates to his son what he thinks about God. The first lesson that he teaches him is total obedience. Total obedience. Notice it tells us here that God tested Abraham. The word actually means examined, or to examine his heart. He examined him in that way, and he tells him, take your son, your only son. Notice that word, only son. Not Ishmael is not being counted here, but only Isaac is being counted. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, there's no doubt about that, and go and to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thinking at that moment, nope, that's not happening. I've got three daughters. Which one? I couldn't really sacrifice any of them. I would, at that point, would put my brakes on. I would say, nope, I'm not doing that. That's not happening. I just can't see it taking place. And yet we find here that Abraham steps out and does it. In verse 3, it says, so Abraham rose early in the morning. There's no time gap here. There's no, let me think about this. There's no, let me weigh all this in and out. He steps out and obeys. You see, obedience is immediate. Obedience is immediate. And I know that we like to tell our kids that, but it's the truth. The obedience is immediate. You step out and you do it immediately. And he demonstrates that to Isaac. Obedience is complete. I think he could have thought, well, you know, what if I took something else? What if I took something else with me? In verse 3, it says, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He went and he took Isaac, his son, the son that he loved. He stepped out. He went. Obedience is immediate. Obedience is complete. You see, obedience done right gets the details right. Gets the details right. In other words, to listen carefully to what God is actually saying and not come up with some substitutive plan or some idea that I can get around this, or maybe if I put this off for 6 months, God will change his mind. Obedience is stepping out right then, following God, doing it exactly the way God said. What about you? What's going on in your life that God is challenging you? God is saying you need to do this. Are you obedient? Are you following it immediately? Are you stepping out and doing whatever takes place? Now, no one said that obedience was easy. Never does he ever tell us that obedience is easy. Do you think this was easy for Abraham? Not for a moment. And yet he was obedient. He stepped out. He followed after it. And God may be asking you to do some very difficult things. Very difficult things. And yet that's not the issue. The issue is not how difficult it is. It's how much am I going to follow after God in obedience. Abraham taught his son to be obedient. Number two, through his lifestyle or what he did here, Abraham taught his son total trust. Verse 4-8 tells him, and on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. That's Mount Moriah. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship, and notice this, and come again to you. And come again to you. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife so that they both went there together. And Isaac said to his father, my father. And he said, here am I, son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? What an interesting thing. Isaac kind of figures it out. He's got the wood laid on his back, a picture of the cross, but the wood laid on his back, and you just see that he goes, and he's starting to figure it out. He says, okay, we got the wood, and we got the fire, we got all of it, but where is the sacrifice? Where is the lamb or the ram? And Abraham doesn't even hesitate on that. He says, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering. But I think the thing that's really interesting is what he tells his servants. He says, we're going to go and we're going to have this sacrifice. And they've probably seen him do this before. We're going to have the sacrifice. And both boy and the boy and I are going to return. That's the point that he's making. We're going to come back to you. And Abraham says, I don't know how God's going to do this. I can't figure this out. I can't add up the math, as it were. But I know this, that God is faithful and God's going to provide. And somehow, whether I actually sacrifice him and God raises him up because God's made this promise through him, or whether God prevents it from happening or God provides it, whatever, I don't know how it's going to work out. I know this. I totally trust in God. Now, when your world falls apart and the doctor says this isn't good and the finances turn down and things don't go the way they expect and there's things going on in your life, what is it you're demonstrating to your kids? Is it panic? Is it, I don't know how this is going to go? Is it getting angry? Is it upset? Or is it total trust? I don't know how this is going to work out. I can't figure the ins and outs. The math just doesn't add up. Two and two don't make four in this situation. I don't know how to figure this out. But I know this. God is faithful. God has always been faithful. And I, as a parent, as a dad, trust in him. What a great way to teach your kids. Easier caught than taught. What a way. What are you teaching? What are you throwing, Dad? How are they learning from that? Moving right along this morning. Number three, not only is he talking about obedience, not only is he talking about trust, but number three, he's talking about total commitment. Verses 9 to 12 goes on and it says here from 9 to 12, and when they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. Now, Isaac's 20 years old or more. Isaac must have figured, okay, I don't know how this is working out, but I'm going to trust in Dad because Dad's 120 years old. Figure this one out. And the boys, the servants are back there again. So somehow all of this trust is there. And he binds up his son and he lays him on the altar on top of the wood. Could you imagine this, what's going on in Abraham's mind? And it doesn't suggest for a moment that there's any hesitation. It doesn't suggest for a moment that he said, let's pray about this. It doesn't suggest for a moment I need to think about this. It says, then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife and noticed the water to slaughter his son. How awful that must have been. How difficult that must have been. And yet you find that in him is this 100% total commitment. I think if you had asked Abraham, what is it that's yours? What is it that's God's in your life? He would say, it all belongs to God. Every part of it. Whether it's my cows or whether it's my Mercedes or whatever it is, it all belongs to God. No matter what it is, it's all God's, every bit of it. Even my children belong to the Lord. And if God wants my child, if God wants me to sacrifice my child, I'm willing to do even that. In your life, does everything you own belong to God? Does God have everything? Everything, every part of it? Or you say, oh God, you can have this part, but I want to hold on to this part. Or you can have that, but I want to hold on to this. What is it you're demonstrating to your kids? Are you teaching your kids that it all belongs to him? 100% total commitment to God. That's what we need. Total commitment to God. Giving it to him 100% in his way. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you've not withheld your son, your only son from me. Abraham said, he belongs to you. He's 100% yours. And I want to make sure that, God, I give them back to you if you ask. How about you? Have you committed your kids to Christ? Have you given them to him? And maybe God wants to take them and use them in a special way, or God wants to do something. Are you going to stand in the way? Are you going to allow that to happen? Because why? I am 100% committed to Christ. I'm 100% committed to God. And everything I have, including my children, belong to you. Is that your heart? Because that's what we need to demonstrate, that God comes first in our lives, that God is at the very center of our lives, that God is right there, and no matter what happens in our life, God is the one that we focus on, and God is there. And as we do that, think of the lessons that we're throwing. Think of the lessons that we're throwing, that nobody's verbally maybe saying it, but we're throwing these lessons just by our actions, and our kids are going, I got it. And they begin to demonstrate that in their lives. Don't you love it when your kids say something that you were saying for like 20 years or 10 years, and all of a sudden it comes out of their lips? Don't you just love that? And you don't say anything. Don't say anything at that point. Don't say, well, I told you that 20 years ago. No, you just kind of sit there and just let it happen. And you think, oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. What's really bad is when they think, I'm starting to sound like Dad. You know, that's when they start to figure it out, right? But when you see that happening, that's why you've tossed those lessons. You've thrown them out there. And they're catching them. And they're getting it. And nobody's really planning it. You're just doing it as you go through life by living your life for Christ. Total obedience, total trust, total commitment. That's what Abraham had to have. And then notice the last one, total reliance. Total reliance. God will provide. Verses 13 and 14 say, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram. I think Abraham knew somehow it was going to be there. I just think he knew. I don't think the ram was, he just knew it was going to be there because he knew that somehow God was going to provide that. Caught in the thicket by his horns, God had provided that. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering. Notice this, instead of his son. Wow. God provided that. So Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is to this day. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God provided that. And Abraham, totally dependent, was totally reliant upon God as he went through life. I think one of the worst things we can demonstrate to our kids is self-reliance. I've got it figured out. I know what I'm doing. I don't need to pray about that. We would never say that out loud, but we go through life and we just kind of have this self-reliance, self-made. I've got it figured out. I've got all these strategies, this education, whatever it is. Instead of saying, hey, God, I don't know how this figures out. I don't know how this works out, but I know that you will provide a lamb. You're going to figure it out, God. And I think the best thing that we can do to God is get on our knees and say, God, I need you. I desperately need you. Because I can't figure this out. And I want to demonstrate to my children my reliance upon the Almighty. Abraham taught his son total reliance upon God. What was the result of that obedience? What is the result of that trust, that obedience, that commitment, that reliance? Verses 15 to 19 tell us, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Lord, it tells us in Hebrews, swore by himself. In other words, he made an oath by himself because there was nothing greater that he could do that by. In other words, he's making an oath that cannot be broken. Because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. Number one, bless you. You will be happy in serving Christ, in serving God. I'll bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the star of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And we know that that's the case, that the nation of Israel has grown. But more than that, you and I, in a sense, have Father Abraham because Jesus Christ came through the line. And he tells it as we go on. And your offspring shall possess the gates of the enemies. Peace. They will have peace in that sense. They will have peace, and they will be successful, all of those things in that sense. And in verse 18, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Blessing of the Lord, happiness with all that he had, including his relationship with God. Multiplied offspring, just not just added, but multiplied. Generations to come would have peace and be victorious because he obeyed God. and all the nations would be blessed through him. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come through the line of Abraham. Jesus would die upon the cross and pay the penalty of our sin so that we can be born into the family of God. And thus, this is foreshadow. The picture here, you can see it of the sacrifice. The picture here of this taking place. And Jesus Christ coming and dying for you and I, being sacrificed for you and I, that he paid the penalty of our sin. The difference between this story and the story of Christ is the story of Isaac is one that ends with Isaac being spared. The story of Jesus is one that ends with Jesus dying on the cross and taking your sin and my sin upon him and then rising again the third day that we might have eternal life. Well, these are the things that Abraham taught Isaac: total obedience, total trust, total commitment, and total reliance of God. He taught them by his actions, by what he did, and God rewarded him for it. How about you, Dad? What are you teaching your sons? What are you teaching your daughters? Not just when things are going great. All of us can teach at that point. It's easy at that spot. But when things are really tough, when things are really bad, when things are really difficult from our point of view, when we're going through that suffering that Pastor Josh talked about last week, what am I demonstrating to my children then? Think of all the positive things that they can learn. What a difference we can make in our home, in our church, in our children's lives by faithfully following after the Lord today. Think of all the lessons you're teaching those who are watching and want to be just like you, not by your words, but also by your actions. There's a poem entitled, "Walk a Little Slower, Daddy." It goes like this: "Walk a little slower, Daddy, so a child so small. I'm following in your footsteps and I don't want to fall. Sometimes your steps are very fast. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for you are leading me. Someday when I am all grown up, you're what I want to be. Then I will have a little child who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead just right and know that I was true. So walk a little slower, Daddy, for I must follow you." Determine in your heart today to be the best example that you can possibly be to those that follow after you. Total obedience, putting God first. Total trust, total commitment, total reliance upon our Almighty God. Be the best thrower you can be so your children can be the best catcher they can be so they can live for him. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the lessons you teach us. Lord, I thank you for this lesson of Abraham. And I'm reminded, Lord, that it's easy to follow after you when things are going great. Anybody can do that. Anybody can pilot the ship when it's tied up to the dock. It's when things are not going great. When I'm going through the suffering that Pastor Josh mentioned last week. When things aren't what I expected them to be. That's when I need to demonstrate Christ the most. Abraham, what a difficult thing to offer his son, his only son, and yet he was willing to do that. What an impact that must have made on Isaac's life. What a difference it must have made in him to see that happen. How his dad completely trusted God. Help me to be that kind of dad. May my children see God in me. May God, my children grow deeper in you because of what they see in my life. Oh, Father, forgive me for the times. Forgive me for the times when I've not demonstrated that. Help me to be the best dad that I can be. In Jesus' name, amen.